South Africa is facing a critical round of by-elections next week. Join me on the Electoral Roadshow with analyst Wayne Sussman. Welcome, Wayne.
Thank you, Chris. Great to always speak to you.
Before I ask you to preview those by-elections, I'd like to talk about the African National Congress announcement that all candidates for 2026 local government elections will have to undergo criminal record and qualification vetting, but submit interest declarations and consent to lifestyle audits.
Yeah, this is very ambitious by the African National Congress and should be applauded that they are taking these steps. One, because you want to make sure that it is the right thing to do, that your public representatives are upstanding people, are ethical people, and that they will do the job which the public or voters are going to elect them to do next year in the local government elections. But also it is just right for the ANC, because what you do not want in the lead up to an election is candidate after candidate to embroiled in a scandal, to embroiled for their criminal records possibly to come up. And I think Fikile Mbalula and the ANC are doing the right thing here, because we know, and we've discussed this before on BizNews, that we see far more violence traditionally in the lead up to a local government election than in a national election, because there is such contestation and competition for positions. So by the ANC doing this, they creating another barrier to entry, another box to important box to tick. And I think hopefully for their case, from Luthuli House's standing point, they will be able to recruit better candidates, recruit candidates can advance the party's cause in the next elections. Because we know, as you saw, in the last major election in 2024 and the last local government election in 2021, the ANC has to do everything it can to turn its rapid slide around and hopefully for their case win back lost voters.
Okay, let's go to next week's by-elections. Shall we start with Gauteng?
Well, let's start in South Africa's smallest province but most populous province, or about just under one quarter of our voters live in this tiny strip of land called Gauteng. We have two by-elections, and the one where I wonder whether Cyril Ramaphosa will be hoping for a post-G20 boost is Ward 90, which is, I understand that President Ramaphosa lives, I think, in Ward 90 in Sandhurst. So it's Sandhurst, Dunkeld, Craighall Park, Hyde Park, a real suburban seat. And this is an interesting point, Chris. We had a by-election recently, and we discussed it here, where it was in Noordgesig, Diepkloof in Soweto. You had 12 candidates on the ballot. So much contestation. There are only two candidates on the ballot in this by-election. And this is the next Johannesburg by-election. So you're going from 12 candidates competing in one ward to two in this other Johannesburg ward. This is a DA stronghold. The DA will want to win big. And I believe we should be seeing Helen Zille campaigning, because I think this is the platform, the by-election platform, for her to launch, or let's say relaunch her campaign to be the mayor next year. So that's a straight two-horse race between the DA and the ANC. And then we go to a part of the Gauteng called Goedsong in nearby Carletonville, gold mining country in the Marafong municipality. Here, this is an ANC stronghold. We know that Gauteng, by the way, is the most competitive political, most competitive province. But the two wards are actually probably the least competitive wards in this round of by-elections. When we think of mining, we think of turbulence in that sector. We think of parties on the left maybe making inroads. But this particular part of Goedsong is an ANC stronghold, strong Setswana-speaking area right by the northwest border. Are we going to see the EFF and MK and a few others make inroads? I think Action SA is in the ballot here. But again, the DA will be hoping to win big in this Johannesburg ward, and the ANC will be hoping its supporters come out in Goedsong.
And Marcus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Hermanus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. It's five cars, Yaku. Denial.
I just love cars. And we rebuy cars that make it so much easier for you and convenient to sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras.
I see how this is addictive.
Take two of those. We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
Now, there's a very critical by-election coming up in KZN.
That is correct. So the last few weeks have been very challenging weeks, even for the Mkhonto weSizwe party. Even the most dyed-in-the-wool Mkhonto weSizwe supporter, someone who might even have a Jacob Zuma tattoo, would have to admit that their beloved party is not in a good way and in a good shape. We are going to the Mandeni municipality, which is, if I remember correctly, where the Tugela River flows out into the ocean. And this ward typifies how brilliantly MK did in 2024. When I look at the voting districts in this ward and I tabulate it, Mkhonto weSizwe won over 70% of the vote here. This is an historic ANC stronghold. I want to repeat that number. Mkhonto weSizwe won over 70% of the vote. Surely, they have to win the seat next week. You can't tell me that almost less than 18 months after the last election, that things have gone so south for Mkhonto weSizwe that they cannot retain a majority support in an area where over 70% of the people voted for them. So there's one key fact. Just I want to throw in one piece of data here. We have had one by-election in this municipality. And again, Mkhonto weSizwe, this is a ward where they won 71%. This is a few months ago. And they won the ward with only 41%. So that's like a benchmark for them. Similar numbers, didn't do as well, but at least they can show their supporters that they won the ward. For Jacob Zuma, for all the people around him, Wednesday, Mandeni Municipality, you can turn your narrative around if you win that seat. And I believe, judging on the 2024 data, Mkhonto weSizwe should take the seat off the ANC. And if they don't, there's a lot to be worried about.
What about the Eastern Cape? There are three by-elections coming up.
Yeah, as we know, the Eastern Cape is a very large province. And in large swaths of that province, there's only one game in town, and that's the African National Congress. Now, interestingly enough, all three by-elections in the Eastern Cape are taking place in the Sara-Bartman district, which is the western part of the Eastern Cape. And essentially, the DA and the PA do the best in the Eastern Cape in Nelson Mandela Bay, which is right next to the Sara-Bartman district, and the Sara-Bartman district. So what I want to say is that this is not your typical Eastern Cape district. So there are three wards, and one of them is a real fascinating seat. It's in Coga, which is basically Jeffreys Bay. And this ward is three different parts of Jeffreys Bay. Why are we having the by-election? The DA ward councillor walked over to, you guessed it, the Patriotic Alliance. Now, the PA will be hoping that they can win its first seat off the DA in the Eastern Cape in Coga. But the ANC are also strong here. So this, you're going to see, there's a part, and I'm sure you've got some BizNews viewers there, Aston Bay, that's a DA stronghold in this ward. Then there's Pell's Rus, which is a majority coloured area, and you've got the DA who's strong in some parts, the PA growing, the ANC have a base. And then an area called Toko Sekswale, which is an ANC stronghold. This is going to be a real humdinger. And I know that a lot of the DA cabinet ministers have campaigned here and that Gates and McKenzie's campaigning here. Then we move over to an area where the PA have already won a seat. We've discussed this part of the Eastern Cape on the show before. It's the Kokuma municipality. And we know that a few weeks ago, the PA won a seat off the ANC. They'll be hoping to do that again, to win another seat off the ANC. This is in the Langkloof area, big farming country, And this is in the small area of Lotavata and Ubatina. I expect the PA, if they are going to win a seat next week, this is where they're most likely to do so. And then finally, on paper, this shouldn't be a contest, but we know that Makana, which is Makanda, formerly Grahamstown, is an area where the ANC has done very well inside of Bartman. But that municipality has been plagued by dysfunctionality, by service delivery collapse, corruption, and we know how important it is. This is a town where one of the high courts in the Eastern Cape is, Rhodes University, the National Arts Festival, big farming around there. This is a key municipality. Yes, we expect the ANC to hold the seat, but there's a party, the Makana Citizens Front, which did very well here last time. And then parties like the EFF, DA, PA, also on the ballot. Can they make inroads in this key municipality? So that's the Eastern Cape next week.
Up to the Northern Cape.
Saving our largest province in the country, but our province with the least amount of people for last. We start in the Siyanguma municipality, which is around Douglas. We know that the DA recently won a ward off an independent there. This is an ANC seat, and you're going to see the ANC versus the DA versus the PA. Can the PA make inroads in this part of the Northern Cape? It's an area called Braypal. And can the ANC hold the seat? We know that one of the Northern Cape generally, I know there's been one or two exceptions, but generally the Northern Cape, the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, the ANC does very well. The ANC will want to make sure it wins this with a big majority, but the DA with the base there, the PA making inroads, it's going to be an interesting race. And then we go, and I'm getting hungry just thinking about this part of South Africa, to the Hunter municipality, to Anthony Scher's hometown, famous Boer bull breeding country, then a small town of Middelpos. This is a tragic by-election. The ward councillor was assassinated there. I think they're still trying to work out how he died. I understand he was burnt in a house, something like that. Horrible story. But this is an area with many voting stations and only 1,300 or 1,400 registered voters. So the ANC won the seat off the DA because they fielded a very charismatic candidate, ran a good campaign. And here you can see the ANC, the DA, the Freedom Front are quite strong here, and the PA go for it. The ANC want to win those two seats well. It's also important for Zamani Saul, the Premier of the ANC, will be eyeing a bigger position for the ANC in the next major national ANC conference. So can the ANC win those two seats? Can the PA further establish themselves? Can the DA recapture its mojo? Just to remind people, the Northern Cape, but I mean, I know I just said that the DA won a by-election recently, but the DA generally struggles in the Northern Cape.
Wayne, what have you heard about the date for next year's elections?
Yeah, this is key. This is a very key date. It will help us plan our year. I know we're winding down to the end, not just of the electoral year, but the end of the 2025, and we need to start putting in dates in our diary for 2026. So the dates I'm hearing from reliable sources is the 4th of November or the 11th of November, two dates. Now, remember, the way the date gets chosen is the IEC consults the president and, crucially in this case, the Minister of Cooperative Governance, which, remember, is no longer someone from the ANC. It's Velen Kosini-Glabisa, the leader of the IFP. But I do think that President Ramaphosa, even though my understanding is that the Minister of Cooperative Governance will inform the IEC of the date, that ultimately President Ramaphosa will loom large in that decision. But I think the IEC's recommendation is, it counts for a lot. And I think they don't want to do it in December. It makes perfect sense. It's not really fair to do it in December. It's not just South Africans going away on holiday, but people going home to be with their families. A lot of South Africans do that. January, people starting new jobs, schools opening, people moving maybe to a new school, people moving to a new tertiary institution, political parties need to also have a break, even though we might be cynical about them. So I think we've got to look strongly. Remember, the last date was, I think it was the 2nd of November 2021 or the 1st of November. I can't remember the exact date. So the 4th of November is in that. And it makes sense. The one thing is here is university exams. And we know that South Africa's universities and tertiary institutions have different exam dates. I think the 4th or the 11th of those dates are the fairest because university students are likely still to be in residence, even though some of them might be writing exams. So let's focus on 4th or the 11th of November as those possible dates.
Thank you, Wayne. So I'm looking forward to discussing the results of next week's by-elections with you on the Electoral Roadshow. That was Wayne Sussman, elections analyst. It was me, Chris Stain. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.